And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, new paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And we thank you very much for joining us every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time on this station and streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. The big, giant Listen Live link is sitting right there on the right-hand side of the page. Actually, on every page, so you can't miss it. We certainly hope that you will tune in and listen to the archives as well, going back, I can't believe it, 2.5 years. It'll be 3 years this September that we've been on the air doing this program, and we encourage you to see what many of our guests have to say about their various subjects and about new paradigms and about making your dreams come true, what it takes. Well, today is no exception. We always try to have folks on who are going to enlighten and inspire and uplift. And I would have to say that the best way to put this is that I have one guest on who represents 38 other potential guests. And if we want to put it that way, Lynn Klippel is my guest. And I want to thank you so much for joining us. You're the author of Overcomers, Inc. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Richard. I'm really happy to be with you today.
This is a book that you have put together, and it is more of a compilation, if you will, of the works of or writings of other folks who have that you've been dealing with. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yes, it is. I put together a collection of really inspiring stories from folks from all over the U.S., Canada, and even one from Mexico, who had great stories to tell.
And these are stories of hope and courage and inspiration with 38 amazing people, basically relating how they met adversity and they triumphed. It seems that these kinds of stories, if I can put it this way, they sort of come out of the woodwork during times of adversity on a grand scale. A lot of folks are, you know, we hear it on the news all the time. We rarely talk about current events on this program other than how they relate to, in this case, overcoming those challenges that are out there. Is it because people are looking for that sign, so to speak, that, hey, this isn't going to go on forever and I can make it even during these challenging times?
You know, I think it's like the pendulum. The more awful things get in the outside world, the more people look inside for guidance and for something to be a positive alternative. So this is a perfect time with everything going on in our world to have good, encouraging stories to read.
Now, it's said that this is a book for uncertain and challenging times. I would say that there is no time in history that we couldn't label as such. But then again, if we start looking at it from a scale standpoint, there are more uncertain and more challenging times than not so uncertain and less challenging times. What about the good times? Are we still able to find those kinds of stories then?
You know, you can talk to somebody on a bus or in a restaurant or at a meeting, and chances are they have an inspiring story to tell. But you might not seek it out so much when things are going fine.
Mm. Well, now, how did you go about the process of gathering? I'm sure that it was more than 38 people's stories, because you can only fit so many into a book, otherwise it turns into War and Peace.
Yes.
How did you come together with all of these folks?
I put out a call. I have a pretty big email list of writers for my publishing business. So I put out a call to my writers as well as to a bunch of friends that I knew who also knew a lot of people. So these 38 people all came together through the power of the internet.
Okay. So the internet, being still relatively new for a lot of folks, seems to be a place where people are really, they're making headways in their own success. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, yes. I know hundreds of, probably thousands of people, not thousands, but more than 1,000 people who are using the internet to create their own business, either on a side business because they have a corporate job, or maybe because they got laid off and they want to create something that's just their own.
Lynn Klippel is my guest, and we're talking about Overcomers, Inc., and that is also a website, overcomersinc.com. So you don't need to put the dot. Well, actually, you do. You put it inc.com, overcomersinc.com. We're going to talk more with Lynn as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. New paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices. Stay with us.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you. It haunts me too. Yes, and I do know how you feel. Oh, come on, walk with me. Talk with me.
Tell me your story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and my guest today is Lynn Klippel. She's the author of Overcomers, Inc., and we're talking about just that, overcoming the obstacles that are before us. And Lynn, as we jump into the grander section of this program, the long-form portion, if you will, where we can chat at length about a lot of these different people and the stories, what about you? What about your story in terms of overcoming? Do you have that same adversity, or did things come pretty easy for you?
Well, I like to say I have a PhD from the School of Hard Knocks.
Okay.
So I could tell you several overcomers stories. One of the most interesting ones, or unusual, I guess, was the impetus for writing this book. Last year, my dad, my mom, my younger brother, and my best friend all had cancer at the same time.
Oh, man.
It was so surreal. And so I wrote this book, or put it together, actually for myself and for my brother, who loves to read and had eight-hour chemo sessions. Mm. So I wanted a really positive, uplifting book of stories that anybody who is going through a lot of stress and trouble could read and get an instant pickup in 5 to 10 minutes, because that's what I needed for myself.
Now, it seems as though that's the way we do things nowadays. I mean, we feel like we do need sort of that quick pick-me-up, sort of a quick fix, but it doesn't actually fix you. You do have to continue to get booster shots, don't you?
Very much so.
So tell me, because I can relate to what you went through with your brother, my wife, almost 10 years ago, 9 years ago this summer, went through the diagnosis and the surgery, and she went through 6 months of chemo. And I wouldn't wish that stuff on my worst enemy. I mean,
yeah.
It's just, it's awful. But I also knew that I felt as though I needed to do the same thing for her. So I had to, with all these different interviews that I've done over the years, I thought, there's got to be something that I can do to get her to focus on, again, just choosing what she wants to do. And that's really what we talk about here, is basically make a choice. Choose what you want to do, where you want to go, what you want to be. And so when I finally came up with that, I printed it up on the computer and I plastered it all over the house, inside and outside of cupboards, on the mirrors, so that everywhere she went, she would see these particular phrases.
I love it.
And so these are the kinds of things that you're doing with this book and these 38 stories. But this isn't all that you do. You also go out and you talk and you do a sort of life coaching of sorts as well.
I work a lot primarily now with authors. I used to do career coaching with people who had lost their jobs or wanted a different career, and I still do a little bit of that, but primarily now I work with people who are dreaming of writing a book and really want some help getting that done.
Okay. What seems to be the biggest obstacle in that regard?
There's two. The first obstacle is they don't know precisely how to write a book. And it is tricky. You open up a new web document and you sit there and you say, okay, today I'm going to write my book.
And I've got a blank screen. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So obstacle one is the know-how. And then obstacle two is the time. Everybody's so busy. So it's hard to find the time to write your book, but it's easier if you know what you're doing.
Well, I'm curious about something too, and that is the writing of the book and putting it together in such a way that it makes sense. And as I shared with you before we started, I spoke to a group of people and I shared with them about copywriting, and I used the word syntax, and they didn't know what it was. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, how do you, Lynn, assist somebody who may or may not have the education to, you know, they have the language skills, the writing skills in terms of putting everything in the proper syntax so that it gets the point across? Or is that really that important these days? Is it okay just to, you know, write a book of slang?
Oh, Richard, I have a great tip for you. Editing fixes everything.
Okay.
So the most important thing an aspiring writer can do is get very clear on the message of the book and the content. So what information do you want to communicate in this book? And then write it the very best that you can. And then hire a professional editor who will polish it and make it beautiful.
Okay. Well, it seems to me that's one of the things that a lot of people want to do these days. They want to write a book. And, of course, most of them would love to get on Oprah,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that would make their book almost instantaneously. But that doesn't happen for everybody. And I'm curious as to your progression. Now, you've written three other books prior to this one.
Yes.
Tell us about those.
My very first book I wrote, I self-published. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but I bought a book by a fellow Californian, Dan Poynter, who is the absolute best in the world at telling people how to self-publish a book. I followed his guidelines to the letter, and it did okay. It wasn't a bestseller. I certainly was not on Oprah. But it was a good experience. I made some money, and it opened a lot of doorways for me. Every book that I did, I got more information on how to write it, but more importantly, how to market it. Because you can have the most wonderful book in the world, and nobody will know about it unless you have a solid marketing plan. So this book, Overcomers, I finally got the marketing working right, and I was very blessed that it hit Amazon bestseller status on its launch day.
Mm-hmm. And now you've written Who Am I to Write a Book, Web Wonder Woman, and then Secrets to Surviving His Job Loss. Now that one, I can relate from the other side, because in 1 year I was laid off from four different jobs.
Oh, my gosh.
And I actually applied for unemployment insurance twice. And after the second experience of that, I said, forget it. I got a job after the first time I was laid off, and I never received an unemployment check because I got the job too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So after the second time, I got the third job, and I thought, okay, if this ever happens again, I'm just going to look for the job. I'm not even going to bother going through that mess of the paperwork. But it is still very, very frustrating when you hear the words downsizing. I worked for a job for less than a day, and they said,
we're
reallocating the funds into a different direction. Thank you so much, and goodbye.
Wow. So, after less than a day.
Less than a day. It had nothing to do with my capabilities. I was doing just fine. I understood the work that I was doing, and I was doing quite well at it. They just decided at the last minute, you know, we don't want to use the funds to pay you to do this job. We're going to use the funds to do something else. Again, that's their prerogative. But when we take a look at, because I really liked the one book you've got here, Who Am I to Write a Book? That really is like the first question a lot of people say, especially if someone comes up to them after sharing, I share this long drawn out story with you, Richard, you ought to write a book. And I'm going, yeah, right. Okay. Sure. I'll write a book in about 30 years because we don't feel like we can, because we don't feel like our story is really worth telling. Is that that happens a lot, doesn't it?
It does. It happens time and time again. In fact, that's been my most successful book, and I've never sold a single copy. I give it away for free. So you can go to www.whoamitowrite.com and get it.
All right.
You pay the shipping. I mean, it's just, it's a little tiny book that is got 13 myths about writing and how none of them are true. Like, I'm not good enough to write. I don't have a PhD. Nobody will listen to me. No one will buy this book except my mother. You know, we have all these voices in our heads that tell us we're not good enough to write our book, and they're all false.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to Overcomers, Inc. What does it mean to overcome?
My definition of overcoming is to have something bad that happens in your life and get through it with your dignity and your pride and your sanity intact.
Some folks put a lot of different meanings on overcoming, and money seems to be at the top of the list, especially during these challenging times.
Yes, they do. And, you know, there's an interesting story in the book about this man named Joshua, and he had everything. He had a multi-million dollar business that he built with a partner. He had a beautiful wife, a beautiful family, sports car, gorgeous house. He lost all of it. Lost the business, went bankrupt, lost the wife, lost the car, lost the family, lost the friendship. He had to move in with his mother in his 30s.
Wow.
And he realized when he absolutely hit bottom that the downfall he experienced was his own fault because of greed. He always wanted more. Nothing was ever good enough for him. And that terrible experience made him take a good long look at his life and his priorities, and he's a much happier and better person today because he learned a new way to relate to people.
You know, you raise an interesting point about relating to people in this 21st century, 2010, here we are. And one of the main ways, especially the younger generation, and I have to say that sounds very strange coming out of my mouth, I don't see a lot of these kids and young adults learning how to relate to one another because their heads are down and their thumbs are moving across a keyboard and they're all texting.
I know. I have three boys. The oldest is 22 and the youngest is 15. And it's shocking to me how they would much rather text a girl they like than call her on the phone or take her out on a date. I mean, it takes a long time to get to the date after many texts. And it's just a completely different way of relating to each other. It's more immediate and very quick, but life in teeny little bits like that, one sentence, I think they're losing a lot of opportunity there.
Well, I know that our parents and their parents and their parents were saying the same kinds of things as their children grew, and yet look at where our civilization is today. And so I do have to wonder. I mean, the point that you've made, I really have to wonder where we're going to be in 50 or 100 years as a society.
Well, I was of the age growing up that, you know, there were seminars and lessons about devil words in rock music.
Oh, yeah.
And how the whole world was going to just fall apart because of Stairway to Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't. And we're perfectly fine. So I think our kids are going to be perfectly fine, too.
As we move through these challenging times, do we have to take the perspective in the process of overcoming? There's nothing we can do with what's going on out there as much as we'd like to say, but I wish I could fix it. I wish there was a way for me to do that. Do we have to just let that go?
It kind of depends. There are some things that I think we can influence. Our own personal life is up to us, and how we feel about things is up to us. Now, can we as individuals control what the government does or what's happening in foreign countries? Maybe or maybe not. Hmm. But we can control our opinions and our level of education about topics and our reactions to it.
How did you begin this journey? What was it that started you down this particular path? A particular event, anything cataclysmic or catalytic?
For helping writers or for putting together the Overcomers book?
Basically for helping writers, for assisting people in putting down into words what they probably would not have ever done without you.
Oh, that's a great question, and I'm so glad you ask it. I have always wanted to be somebody who encouraged others. And through my career, prior to working with writers, I was a teacher, I did corporate training, and one of the things that thrilled me the most was helping people find a voice for what they believed in and for their own brilliance. So when I have the opportunity to work with an author who has a great story to tell, that has implications and assistance that can bless people who read it, I just am thrilled to help them put that out into the world and communicate it as a way of service.
Now, what about you? And I mean, again, your main focus is, of course, helping writers to get their story out. And we're talking primarily about nonfiction / true stories about themselves and their lives and what they've experienced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So where does one begin with you? What's step one?
I would say step one to begin with me is to probably get that book, Who Am I to Write? And read that and decide if you really want to write a book.
Hmm.
That's an important decision to make, because once you decide that, yes, I really do want to bring this book out into the world, then the next step after that is sitting down and doing some planning. Very first thing you got to plan is what's going to be in the book. And, you know, it's really kind of funny to think, if you go back to fourth grade and you make a robust outline before you write a word of your book, you will be getting your book done quicker and easier than anybody else. It's no magic. You need an outline.
Okay.
Then you need a marketing plan. And then you got to get your book written.
Marketing a book, though, is not what it used to be, obviously because of the internet. I mean, when we used to hear about this website called Amazon.com, it was not that big of a deal. But nowadays, Amazon is kind of like Simon and Schuster.
It's bigger than Simon and Schuster.
Well, I understand. And that's the other aspect of it. It used to be that publishing companies would take your book and they'd send you on tours and you'd sign your books and you'd give talks and those kinds of things. Is that still part of the modern day technologically advanced marketing plan for a book?
No, not really. Unless you are Wayne Dyer or a celebrity.
Uh-huh. Okay.
If I do a book signing in a city, probably nobody would come because they haven't heard of Lynn Klippel. So what's working today is lots and lots of social media, so Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn. Authors now have websites and engage in conversations through blogging or through social media with their future readers long before the book is ever written. So they seek to really build a family of interested people for their particular topic and serve them and get to know them and sometimes even involve them in the book writing process long before the book ever hits the bookstore shelves.
You know, there's also a device out, and I for some reason I keep forgetting the name of it, but it's a device that allows you to download a book and read it. And actually, I believe in some instances you can even edit the book. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If she wrote the book, who am I to edit her book?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the editing piece. I know you can change the fonts on those e-book readers. There's one called the Kindle.
Kindle, that's probably the biggest.
Yeah. And then there's a couple other ones. There's also applications now where people are downloading books to read on their iPhone.
It's amazing.
It is.
I have no interest in getting an HD television, let alone a 3D TV. I guess I'm not ready to advance forward into the iPhone and iPod and all of that. My computers are at home and at work, and my cell phone is just that. It's a phone. I keep it pretty simple. At least I try to. And I know that there are people out there that feel the same way. Mm-hmm. How does one become comfortable with all of this technology to move forward in that kind of a marketing plan?
Well, I don't think you have to, especially in the book world. There will always be printed books because book readers and book lovers like paper. Mm-hmm. We like to hold a book in our hand. So if you don't want to progress into a Kindle reader or reading your book on your phone, good. That's, as a publisher, I like that because I want to keep on printing books.
Mm-hmm.
However, some people are very digital, and if they would rather have a device to read their book instead of a printed book, good for them. I mean, it saves trees, so
right.
That part's good. And, you know, I think there should be a choice that people can get the information in a book electronically or printed, whatever way they like it the best.
So if I'm going to write a book, I need to be at least open to allowing the book to be presented in the multitude of formats that are available and not say, no, I don't want mine electronically transmitted. I only want it in a hard copy. In the printed word that you take off of a shelf.
Yeah, because, you know, you write your book to communicate your message. How that message is served up to people, whether it's digital in an e-book format or whether it's printed on paper, it's still your message.
I'm not sure that I've asked this question. I may have in a different way, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it again. And you sort of, I think you maybe alluded to it just there. Why? Why should I bother writing a book?
Well, that's an important question. You should do it if you really want to.
Well, why would I want to?
Most of the people that I work with have a business, and they want to use that book as part of their business marketing or their professional speakers. So, for example, one of my clients is a real estate agent, and she is really, really good at helping women resell the family house after a divorce. That's an extremely stressful situation.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote a little book about how to get through selling the family home after a divorce. And now in her community, she's like the go-to person. Whenever somebody's getting a divorce, a girlfriend will say, oh, you have to call Judy because she wrote the book on this.
Mm.
So her book is purely a marketing tool. Other clients have a message to share, whether it's about a business topic or a spiritual topic or a parenting topic. They want to help people with their book. So they write it as a service.
Is wanting to be a millionaire the wrong reason to write a book?
Yeah, because you won't become a millionaire just with your book. I wish. You know, I would have liked that with my first book, but it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
However, you can become... you can serve a lot of people with your book, and you can make some very good money through products and services that follow your book.
When we talk on this program about different ideas being presented, and we talk with a lot of different folks, a lot of motivational, inspirational speakers, spiritually minded metaphysics, and come into the equation,
mm-hmm.
Quantum physics. I actually get tired of the word quantum. It's just physics, okay? I still think that the original physics is still good. I could call this a quantum radio show. It's still a radio show. But that's another part of the whole presentation. And that was one of the things I learned very early on, even when we were out doing live remotes at various locations, setting up the table and putting out the equipment and laying out the wires and so forth, that presentation was everything. Is that still the case today when you talk about putting a book out on the market?
It is. If you are somebody that wants to become a keynote speaker, or a consultant, or someone who is, you know, viewed as an expert in your particular business, people will expect you to have a book.
Hmm. When you have worked with people who are wanting to write a more uplifting, an inspirational book, how do you? I mean, granted, they've probably written the book itself, although I'm sure that there are those who will have ghostwriters as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you put this together so that it maintains their style, their flair, them, without that much of you? I mean, obviously you have to have some input in the process, but how do you so to speak, separate yourself from their work so that it stays their work?
You know, that's really tricky. I've ghostwritten 3 books, and all of them have been for men. And the most challenging ghostwriting experience I had was for this guy who was 28 years old. He was really cool. And he spoke to high school and college students on a motivational topic. I had to write his book like a 28-year-old single cool dude instead of a 45-year-old mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of time with him getting very clear on his message. And then I recorded lots and lots of hours of he and I speaking so I could start to get his patterns of how he spoke and the words that he used. And it was really a collaboration. You know, I'd write something, he'd send it over and say, yeah, it's all good, except I wouldn't say it this way. In this one paragraph, I'd say it that way. So when you're working with a ghostwriter, there's lots of back and forth dialogue to make sure that the tone and the voice of the author comes through and not the ghostwriter.
Is it easier to write a book with a ghostwriter or harder?
You know, I don't know for sure. I think in a lot of cases it's harder because the ghostwriter's writing your story and you might not like the way that they're writing it. So for almost everyone, I would encourage them to write their own book.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's some people that absolutely hate the act of writing and they simply will not be able to do it, or they just don't have the time, then ghostwriting can be a good service for you.
You talked about helping those who are wanting to write and especially putting out the more inspirational and uplifting types of works. And what can you tell us about I'm trying to find the right word here to express this. Are there more people who are coming to you wanting to write those kinds of works from their own personal experiences than just a memoir?
Yeah. Memoirs are hard to sell unless you have a really, really good one like Eat, Pray, Love.
Okay.
That was a commercial success, great book, but it's hard to sell a memoir unless it's outstanding and you have a really shockingly different story. So what most people do is they will write a book to solve a problem for their reader, and they'll use bits and pieces of their personal stories as illustrations. So for example, let's say a woman went through a terrible divorce, and it was really awful, and she wants to write a book on it. Well, there's lots of people that have been through terrible divorces, so that book probably wouldn't sell. But how about if in the process of going through this bad divorce, she learned some valuable life lessons about herself and learned how to quickly recover from that divorce and form a cordial relationship with her ex-husband? Other women would like to know that information. So if you could write the factual information in that book and use pieces of your own story as an illustration, that book would sell.
Mm. Now, how has it been for you in the publishing world? Does it make any difference, especially when you consider the internet, even though people will read your name, they'll see your picture up on your website and so on and so forth, so they know they're dealing with a woman. Does that really make any difference nowadays? Or are there people who would rather work with women in the publishing field to get them out because they feel that that woman is going to be a little bit more understanding, a little more supportive and so forth?
Oh, you know, I haven't really experienced anybody saying, I don't want to work with you because you're a woman, or I do want to work with you because you're a woman. That hasn't come up at all in the work that I've done. But what I have noticed is there's certain styles that editors and coaches and publishers have,
mm-hmm.
and some people really want a very supportive, nurturing style, and that's what I use. Other people don't want that at all. They want somebody to keep them accountable and keep them on track and to really be hardcore nagging with them. And so they would like a more aggressive type coach for their particular style.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's more the tone than the man or woman thing.
Okay. So you've developed a style in that context that works, and you have to adjust that, of course, for each individual person, or do you pretty much use the same style for everybody?
I adjust it a little bit, but I know who I am and what I can do well, and so I try to always be my authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is a good match for somebody, great. If it isn't a good match, I know other people with different styles that I can refer them to, so it would serve them better.
So you have a nice network going on as well.
Yes, yes.
I know I did a project for someone about 15 years ago, and it was a $1,500 project, and I was producing a series of cassettes for this particular woman, and she had all the people come in, and we did all of the recording, and I edited it all, put together, and I gave her the cassettes, and she said, "I can't use this." And I had done it the way she had asked me to do it. And so I said, "Well, I can't actually refund your money, but I can make it right. Let's get everybody else back in here. Let's do it again. Only this time we're going to do it the way I know to do it." That's the key, not letting somebody else tell you how to do your job.
You know, that is really important. I can't tell my author what story to tell,
mm-hmm.
but I can help them get the structure so that they tell it in a way that's going to be successful and make them look good and make their readers happy. And mm-hmm. sometimes I have to tell people, "You can't publish this book, because it's going to hurt you." For example, I had a woman
wow.
who wrote a really graphic book about her activities when she was married and was a mom, and she had pretty graphic descriptions of an affair that she had. And her children and her ex-husband had no idea that she had that affair.
Oh.
And I told her, you know, if this book takes off and you are on People Magazine or the Today Show talking about your affair, what are your kids going to think?
And what's your husband?
Do you really want them to know this information? And
yeah.
don't you think you should talk about it first, because they're in this book?
Wow.
So you have to really think everything through before you write intensely personal information, and especially about other family members.
Yeah. Yeah. Be careful when you write a tell-all book.
Yes. Those are dangerous sometimes.
Yeah. We've seen how that's been dangerous for some folks. Yes.
Yes.
My guest is Lynn Klippel. She is the author of Overcomers, Inc. and the website overcomersinc.com. You can go there and check out the material for this particular book of 38 incredible folks who have been willing to share their stories of inspiration and courage and hope. And whether you need the encouragement or not, it'll be a fun read, to say the least. Again, true stories of hope, courage, and inspiration, 38 amazing people who basically relate how they met adversity and triumphed. And, of course, triumphing, is that a word?
It is today, Richard.
Okay. I always want to use the right words here. It means a little different. It means different things to different people. You know, sometimes it's just a slight turn to the left, and some it's going to be a 180-degree turn. And these folks who wrote these stories for your book, is there one in particular that surprised even you?
Oh yeah, one of my favorite stories is a story by this woman by the name of Martha Lee. She is a native New Yorker, middle-aged, never married, highly professional career woman. She met this man out of the blue who proposed marriage to her right away as a joke. He was from Mississippi, from the Gulf Coast. She never thought she would ever marry, and she never thought she would marry somebody from the Deep South, but they became engaged. She got everything ready to move to Mississippi. They got married, and he died on their wedding night.
Oh, no.
And it gets worse. She went to see her sister.
It can get worse?
Oh, yeah. Their home that they had purchased together, where they intended to live after their marriage, she saw on CNN with water coming out of it because Hurricane Katrina hit.
Oh, man.
So this poor woman has no earthly idea what she's supposed to do in Mississippi, but she feels called to go there after Katrina, first to check on her belongings and to somehow help. So long story short, she goes down to Mississippi. She starts working with the volunteers who come through a particular church group. She becomes the coordinator of Katrina volunteers for the whole Presbyterian Church of America. Sees miracle after miracle after miracle. Is healed by all the wonderful things. loves Mississippi now, found a new community there, and is actually a very happy woman.
Wow.
So helping in that tragedy helped her recover from the tragedy in her own life.
Incredible.
Yeah, I love that story.
And those are the kinds of stories we'll find, of course, in your book, Overcomers, Inc. I'm sure some of the stories, we'll be reading through them and we'll have tears running down our cheeks at the adversities that some of these folks have faced that we couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, some of them are really tear-jerking and some of them will make you laugh.
Yeah, and we need that too. I mean, I mean, I could tell you stories. Maybe after the program, I'll tell you these stories. Once again, you have to be careful. A, you got to know your audience, and B, do you want to reveal that information to tell all kinds of stuff? My guest is Lynn Klippel, and we are talking about Overcomers, Inc. Again, the website, overcomersinc.com. And you also, again, you have, who am I to write a book?
Who am I to write?
Who am I to write.com. Now, what about the other two books? Are they also .coms?
Yeah, you can find those on Amazon.
Okay, so go to Amazon, just type in Lynn Klippel, and away you go. You can also get to Lynn's website through richarddugan.com. We have a link to her website, overcomers.com, and we encourage you to check out the material that she has available. I'm Richard Dugan. Don't you go away. We have more to come here on Tell Me Your Story. This is New Paradigms for a New World. We'll be right back.
If we take to that road, see how far it goes, and on that great ocean road, all the country's in our bones, all the trouble that you know empties out as you go.
New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And my guest today, Lynn Klippel, is sharing those stories of others who have had some incredible adversities thrown at them, or they've gone through them. It all depends upon your perspective. And come out the other side with some incredible stories to tell and some incredible healings as well. You know, I find this fascinating, Lynn, that When we have all these different folks on the program talking about their story, some of them are very dramatic and inspiring, and some sound ordinary, but to the teller, it's not ordinary. It's like, I went through this, and it was a big deal to me. Crossing the street, we could all tell the same story of crossing the street, but somebody's going to tell it a little bit more dramatically because from their perception, it was a dramatic crossing. Do you help people to sort of pull out that, and maybe drama is the wrong word, but for lack of a better one, to make it interesting to the reader?
Yes. I think that if your book is boring, nobody's going to go past page 10. Mm-hmm. We're busy people now. So you have to make a book that is, it almost like calls to the reader and says, yes, this is the book that's going to solve your problem that's keeping you up at night. So whether it's a book about finances or a book about communicating better with your boss or a book on how to get your teenager to do their homework, there has to be a compelling benefit to the reader to get them to invest their time in reading it.
Mm. If someone were to come to you and say, I really want to write this, but I want to remain anonymous, is that something that you can handle as well? Because maybe they're not ready to, they need to tell the story because for them it would be a catharsis. It would be healing for them. It would be a release for them. But they're not ready to, quote on, you know, to coin the phrase, come out of the closet on that particular subject.
What I would advise that person to do, Richard, is to write the story in a journal or on their computer just for their own healing, but not plan to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a book that is for your personal catharsis is very healing. It really can help you to get it out on paper, but it probably will not be a book that you want to publish. a book published anonymously is going to be almost impossible to market because people want to know the authentic person behind the book. So, you know, if I would write a book posing as a guy who's a stockbroker, you know, you remember when Oprah was burned by that guy that made up his book?
Oh, yeah.
And how it was horrible to lie to Oprah, of all people,
yeah,
and to lie to the reading public.
Yeah, he'll never be back. He'll never be back on her show again.
And everything he writes from now on is going to be judged as perhaps an untruth.
A suspect, yes.
Yeah, so unless you're writing a book of, like, porn or a mushy love story, you don't want to publish an anonymous book.
Yeah. You could be doing a lot of different things right now and have gone in so many other different directions. Why this? Why now?
I love books, and I love people. So it's just, you know, if I won the lottery, I would still do this work. I'd probably do it from an island somewhere, but I would still do this.
Well, you and me both, although I don't know that I would want to go to an island. I actually like where I'm working, and if I won the lottery, I would still be working here. I would just be living in probably a little nicer house than I am now.
Yeah.
And again, that's not to say that where I'm living now is not nice. It really is. I enjoy the view of the valley to the north and the cool weather and the fog when it rolls in and all that wonderful stuff. But these are the kinds of stories from Overcomers, Inc. that you can read about by going to overcomersinc.com and checking out the book. You can go to amazon.com and put in Lynn Klippel and check out all of her other works as well. Have you any other books in the works of your own that we might look forward to in the next year or two or so?
You know, I'm actually redoing the Job Loss book.
Okay.
Because it's 7 years old, and what was important 7 years ago is not as important now. So my next book will be another book for women whose husbands are out of work in response to the millions of people who are out of work right now.
Before I let you go, how have the inspirational stories, say, changed, the ones that you have compiled here, say, as to those of the great writers of the last century, of the 20th century, the Norman Vincent Peales and the Nightingale Conant and so on and so forth. Have they changed much?
Well, in some ways, no, because they're telling a human story. And people like to know that they're like other people, that, mm-hmm. you know, if they're broke and suffering, it makes them feel better to know other people have faced that problem and overcome.
But it's not
the only thing that's different now is the format of how stories are told is probably a little quicker.
Okay. And it's not necessarily that misery loves company. It's that someone is saying, hey, you know, hey, they went through the same thing I went. Oh, and look what happened to them. They came out the other side, and God, look what they're doing. And so at least it gives them that hope.
Yeah, it's like a mentorship or leading by example.
Extraordinary. Well, Lynn, I want to thank you so much for sharing your time and your story with us, as well as the stories of these folks, the 38 folks in your book, Overcomers, Inc., and we encourage folks to go to your website and check out the book or go to Amazon.com. Any final thoughts from you?
Oh, Richard, I just want to thank you, and I also want to say to your listening audience, if any of you are facing a problem in your life, whether it's a health thing or a money thing or a relationship thing, just remember that you're not alone and that if you keep going, putting one foot in front of the other, you will come out the other side and you'll be okay.
That's one thing that we do have to remind ourselves of, because when we start heading into some of these more challenging times, a lot of the commentary that we hear, and I just use the phrase, the other voices, not necessarily in our heads, make it sound as though the world is coming to an end and it's all over. We're done. And the reality is my parents are in their late 70s. They lived through the Depression and they're in their late 70s. So they've been through a few of these.
They made it through.
They made it through and they raised 6 kids and we're now off. Living it too. Lynn, thank you once again. I'm Richard Dugan, and this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Check out Lynn's website, and again, that is overcomersinc.com. Until next Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time here on this station, love to all. Have a great week.